you have to understand and read the tea leaves and picture that marketplaces change, environments change, economies change. So are you willing and able to be nimble enough with the product and service that you're providing to kind of float with what's going on versus just kind of saying, well, you know, this is what we do. We're not going to change our model. And I think that's where you kind of get in trouble.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Goldman, and this is Future Proof.
InDrive, a ride-hailing app where passengers name their price and drivers respond, recently launched in Miami. Popular in Latin America and Asia, the app is now entering markets like Africa and the U.S., offering no commission to drivers until January 2024 and a minimum $10 fare in Miami. The app, tackling challenges like long wait times, focuses on markets with limited mobility, and prioritizes sustainable growth. So today we are joined by Adam Warner, Operations Strategy Director at InDrive. Adam, who moved from Lyft to InDrive, advocates for fair wages and surge-free fares. He's dedicated to making ride-hailing equitable for everyone. Adam will discuss InDrive's innovative pricing model, its effects on the rideshare market, gig worker protections, and AI's role in the gig economy. We'll also cover the changing regulations affecting drivers and riders worldwide. Join us for a conversation with Adam about revolutionizing gig work, the technology reshaping rideshare, and its worldwide implications. This talk is crucial for those interested in the future of transportation, and it's starting right now. So, Adam, welcome to Future Proof.
Excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me. Look forward to our riveting conversation today.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to ask you, because I know that we'll have some of this in the intro, but who are you and what do you do on a day-to-day basis and how do you define yourself?
My name is Adam Warner. I currently run U.S. operations for InDrive, a new ride-sharing company that has come to the United States market. My day-to-day is really trying to dive deep and understand how to solve the opportunities and problems that face people who use rideshare. So, how do we solve problems that impact the driving community? How do we solve problems that impact passengers? And so everything that kind of entails in those two very specific customer bases is really what I'm focused on every single day. When I wake up, I'm thinking about it. When I go to sleep, I'm thinking about that as well.
Amen to that. It's obviously, you know, the rideshare market, the gig economy, it's becoming such a, something that people have been thinking about for years, but it's, you know, a not insignificant part of the overall economy now. I mean, given the fact that there are some big incumbents that play in this space, and also given that everybody has a different kind of market penetration, depending on what market you're looking at, how does InDrive's bargaining-based pricing model kind of distinguish itself in the competitive rideshare market? And what else do you say that, you know, distinguishes InDrive from some other competitors?
Yeah, all great questions. And it's the right question to ask, I think, when talking about this particular space. You know, as I kind of think about all rideshare platforms, the opportunity that's kind of impacted this entire space really kind of boils down to how companies and organizations are prioritizing their business goals. It's a very difficult market to understand. And so as our competitors in this space, as a publicly traded company, try to understand how do they show the shareholders the value in the organization that they have, they've really prioritized all of their business goals to just generate profit over kind of that customer and driver experience. So kind of as we transition to InDrive, who's been around over a decade at this point in many markets all around the world, different countries, different rules and regulations, we've kind of built this model of just trying to have a fair and transparent, you know, negotiating circumstance between the passenger and the driver. And so how are we different when we're kind of thinking about this model and bringing it here? It really boils down to freedom of choice, giving both the drivers and passengers the freedom to sit there and choose what's important to them. If it's price, you can choose your own price on what you're willing to pay for a ride. A driver can also set their own value on what they're willing to do for that particular service. And so it's completely up to them. There's no third party. I'm not standing in the way. I don't have any engineers kind of in the background trying to understand how to surge pricing and pulled those levers of supply and demand. Thinking about that particular choice for people in this space is really what's going to make us extremely different as we think about our competitors going forward.
Well, and also, as you think about the broader space in general, I think one of the things that struck me is that, you know, the gig economy could encompass over 50% of the U.S. workforce by 2027. And it seems that there have to be kind of some shifts in order to accommodate that. Wondering, how are you guys preparing to support the significant shift in employment patterns?
Yeah, as we think about it, I think there's two important factors. As more interest is kind of leading into this market, like you say, people are looking for unique ways to create new sources of income. They know that they can do this on their own schedule. Many, many people do this only part-time. And so as these new individuals and entrants come into this space, I think we have to solve for a couple different problems. Number one, we're going to have to solve the commercial insurance opportunity that kind of exists in this space. And it's kind of like the single biggest factor of impact when you think about how to run this business and how to run this business efficiently. And then really secondarily, but also most important to the customer themselves, is making sure that we are increasing our standards for what good looks like. How do we get the safest drivers that we possibly can? How do we screen them? How do we coach them? How do we provide the best opportunity in order to kind of, you know, gatekeep this influx of people coming into the space? So those are going to be the two main things that I think about. Then, and really, ultimately, it's going to be a challenge, I think, for all of us in this industry.
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I think that there are, I mean, obviously, everybody's thinking a little bit about like their own operations, but then you're thinking about the macro environment. And just as a human being, I think that there's some, you know, crucial worker protections that all companies, you know, should be implementing. It'll just be better for their overall ecosystem. And I think the same thing could be said for rideshare companies. You know, are there any things that you would just like to see the industry writ large, you know, try to implement to ensure more pay equity, especially given the rising importance of the gig economy going forward?
I definitely understand, just as a person and human being, I understand, especially from the seat that I sit in, that the driver who is using their own vehicle, using their own gas, they're providing the service that's kind of helping, you know, revolutionize transportation by picking somebody up with the push of a button in an application. So being really conscious about that person's experience and understand that what I know that I can do to really impact this is really dig deep and understand that I need to provide products and services and be as transparent as possible with these individuals. And so I know that in this community and people who are doing this type of work, there's a lack of trust kind of in this space. And so how do I be transparent about everything that we're doing, why we're doing it, what's the need behind it, ultimately to provide the most value? And so to kind of go back and really answer your question, operationally, having a lean model in this space, I do feel is the real important factor about making this work. And by making it work, I mean low fares for the passengers, high commissions for the drivers, to kind of help both sides of that coin and help both of those customers succeed, is going to be really transparent. So operationally lean is going to be super important. Listening to the driver's needs and wants, pay attention to the environment at large, pay attention to our economy here in the United States. And so what are the things that I can do to balance those things out are going to be really hypercritical, I think, as we go forward.
And I wanted to ask you about one of the advancements you guys embraced and kind of accomplished recently in a second. I just wanted to ask you right beforehand, you know, you mentioned obviously the space that you're in. And it's interesting, right? Because I've seen that there's, you know, like specialized gig platforms that are kind of on the rise in some circumstances. You obviously have Uber saying, oh, Uber Eats, that's a logical thing, you know, tied to mobility. So it makes a lot of sense for us. So I'm wondering, what do you think a company needs to do in a situation like this, where you just kind of, do you aim for excellence in one area, or do you try to be not quite all things to all people, but do you naturally just kind of say like, well, okay, this is our value proposition. And we have an ability to kind of go a little bit beyond that just to increase our overall market share.
Yeah, it's so curious. There's so many different ways to think about it. I've thought about it 100 different ways over. I truly believe that you really need to kind of not necessarily just dig your heels into one way. I feel like that's where a lot of companies kind of falter. They kind of say, I'm going to stick to this. This is our niche. This is the only way that we're going to kind of operate. And I just kind of feel like you have to understand and read the tea leaves and picture that marketplaces change, environments change, economies change. So are you willing and able to be nimble enough with the product and service that you're providing to kind of float with what's going on versus just kind of saying, well, you know, this is what we do. We're not going to change our model. And I think that's where you kind of get in trouble. So I'm completely and utterly open to exploring many different things, even outside of rideshare, in order to kind of help that marketplace grow. And for InDrive worldwide, we already have 6 different verticals that are not just rideshare, right? We're in the cargo space. We're in the delivery space. We're even in the, hey, you need a handyman to come and find and help me hang my TV in my house. We even have those services as well in kind of the same marketplace, right? I need this service, goes out to people. I'm willing to do that service for X. And now all of a sudden that partnership has happened and then that product and service can be delivered. So as I think about the budding space, you know, are we going to be nimble enough to change along the way? And I think that's important. I need to make sure that's top of mind for myself and continue to push that agenda going forward.
Well said. And I think that the way that we initially got connected, which was really interesting to me, and you could probably speak to it so much better because I'm going to butcher it, but there's, you know, MapUp, right? And their toll intelligence service, Toll Guru. And you basically like launched in the US. And I think it's a perfect example about how, you know, embracing tech and, you know, executing well can just add value to the end user's life. So maybe you can talk a bit about that.
Yeah. You know, we have a key partnership, like you said, with MapUp. We're continuing to look at how do I build transparency for our customers, both passengers and drivers. I think that's really hypercritical to what I do. This partnership allows both riders and drivers to see added fees from tolls upfront before agreeing on any kind of route or price. So MapUp is definitely a revolutionizing kind of new way that modern fleets manage tolls, billing, payments all through its AI-based software. And so they're currently operating in 80-plus countries across North America, Europe, Asia, Australia, Latin America. And so that this company that we're excited to work with empowers fleets with accurate toll billing and toll spent insights, leading to reduced billing cycles, improved driver satisfaction, and cost savings. And so we're excited only because, you know, MapUp is in this industry. They are working with, you know, Lyft, GetAround, Revel, and Dispatch. And so I just think it's kind of a natural solution for us to kind of connect and understand what people are doing in this technology space, be open and nimble, like I said earlier, to kind of embrace these tools to kind of help provide that customer value. And I'm going to continue to evaluate and make sure that I'm being transparent to those drivers and passengers along the way. And I think this partnership will help me do that.
I think that the transparency part is a really important thing, right? Because I think technology certainly enables that. And it's one of those things where when people have the ability to have transparency and then they just don't, they might not even be aware of it. But I think that a provider like you guys just says, well, but this can be a value add. This can be something that we can do before other people do, before it becomes table stakes. And I think that's really interesting. I mean, I think another area, kind of, not that you guys are going to get into this really, but like healthcare transparency, it's like that's something where the reason why they have really bad marks as an industry is just simply because of the lack of transparency. So you're right to tap into this thing that basically everybody wants and more customers are demanding. So hats off in that regard.
No, I appreciate it. And I agree that space is very interesting. I think that we all have kind of those examples of going in for something that you felt was relatively simple. You come out with a non-itemized bill that you're trying to break that down and kind of understand what is it that who's paying for what, and trying to understand that is extraordinarily frustrating. So I hope to continue to wave that flag and try to help not only my organization, but other organizations just be upfront, just tell people the truth. That's all that we want. I want to be able to tell the truth along the way and give people the opportunity to make a decision that's fair and balanced for their lifestyle and what they're looking to accomplish.
So do you think that we're, and maybe just to let you go with this question, I know you've got a lot of other stuff to do and probably a bunch of commuting to do in Atlanta that will take you a bit more time. But no, just in terms of like, where are we in terms of your evolution and the industry's evolution? And also, what long-term vision do you have for the evolution of the rideshare economy? You know, I think obviously there was a lot of innovation that happened at the very beginning, if you will, you know, maybe like a decade ago. Is there a lot left? Do you think that 2024 and beyond, should we expect to see a lot of change?
Yes. Not necessarily, I think, completely positive yet, but I think kind of having these conversations, I think, are pretty critical and important. Unfortunately, I do see continued increasing rates for rides happening in 2024 specifically, as I kind of forward look out here. I do think that the pressure and demand for being a profitable organization in this space and kind of showing that ability to do that is going to continue to see that happen. Now, how do we kind of curtail that and really think forward about it? I think players like us coming into the space kind of demanding that, hey, we're going to show you exactly what all of these fees are. Why are they there? Where do they go for? Who's paying for what? We'll continue to kind of apply pressure to many people, to even delivery services as well, you know. And I think that if we can do that going forward, we will see positive change on the driver pay equity front if we're able to accomplish that. So I do worry about that for 2024. I want to continue to be a beacon of some kind of change, hopefully a very positive one, where we can kind of help implement some of these pay transparent models that everybody else can adopt. Hopefully, in the end, that will kind of help us all get there. And so that's kind of how I'm thinking about it, at least in the short term. I do see a world where we're going to see increasing prices in 2024. But, you know, I'm very hopeful and optimistic that you're going to see those things start to plateau and start to go down in the near future if we're able to accomplish these things.
Well, I like that because it's actually bright, optimistic, but also admitting that you just don't know because, yeah, you know, frankly, that's the people who get things right are the people who have, I think, the humility to kind of say there are so many different factors at play here, you know, but it's either way, it's going to be really fun to watch all of this play out. And I like that you guys are trying to establish your own unique value proposition and competitively differentiate yourself in a bit more of a crowded market than it was a few years ago. So this is really great. Adam, thank you so much for making the time.
Absolutely. It was an absolute pleasure talking with you today and look forward to the future as a whole.
Thanks again to Adam for making the time. And if you like what you just heard and this is your first time here, be sure to subscribe. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, the choice is yours. And if you're a longtime listener, please remember to rate and review Future Proof, as that's the number one way we get the show in front of people just like you. Got a burning question you want covered on a future episode? Go to futureproofshow.com to submit. Special thanks this week to producer Jason Stack. Once again, I'm Jeremy Goldman, and you've been listening to Future Proof.